It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and a very good evening to you all. It's Tuesday, the 28th of February. I'm Ronan Berry and you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103 as we put the month of February to bed and move swiftly on into March and in to see what the rest of the year brings us. So coming up between now and 8pm, next week is Local Enterprise Week and it's packed with events and seminars for business owners, for budding entrepreneurs, for existing businesses looking to grow or expand their product or their service or their offering, as well as looking at the export markets. But I'll have all the details on the events coming up. I'll be talking to both Orlan Martin from Local Enterprise Office Offaly and Tracy Tallon from Local Enterprise Office Westmeath very shortly on the show. Also, Louise Lally will explain how investment in human skills is much needed to retain staff, build brand loyalty and retain customers, particularly in the retail sector. Again, it's a sector that has been challenged post-COVID with people who have left the sector to find other work when shops were closed for so long. So what steps can you take if you're in retail to rebuild staff and rebuild your brand reputation around as well? So highly important topic. That's coming up around 7:30 this evening. And also later on, you're going to hear from an Offaly man called Erwin Pollard. He's just invested over $250,000 into a South Dublin gastropub. And he spoke to one of our reporters recently and explained the thinking and the why behind it and the reasons why they decided to make that significant investment, particularly given the challenges that sector has faced over the years. So great stuff happening from people in the Midlands and all around the Midlands. Speaking of great stuff happening in the Midlands though, and actually if you want to get in touch with me this evening, I better give you the text and WhatsApp number. You probably know it by now. 083 3010 103, powered by the home of Offaly's top selling car brand, Lamb Brothers Toyota on the Arden Road, Tullamore. Get in touch, let me know what you are thinking or what's happening in your world at the minute. But say, speaking about things and events happening in the Midlands, you know, many of you listening will probably engage the services of an accountant or a tax accountant or an auditor at some point in your business. And rarely you find those people in hot water. They're generally very steady people, you know, they don't get into hot water too often. But a team of accountants and tax consultants from the Midlands have taken a unique approach to fundraising this month and have created an interesting initiative for themselves. And they have certainly not put themselves in hot water. They have put themselves in very, very, very cold water to find out what's happening, what they've been doing, what their target was. I'm delighted to be joined by two people from Athlone-based RBK. You'll probably be familiar with RBK too. It's Ireland's largest independently branded accountancy firm with an international outreach too, operating from offices in Athlone, Roscommon and Dublin. It's led by 18 highly experienced partners and has over 220 employees. So I'm delighted to be joined now by both Chris Ball and Conor Peck, two people who work with RBK and indeed took part in this initiative. Conor, I suppose I go to you first on this. Can you just let the listeners know the challenge that you took on for the month of February?
Yeah, hi Roland. So the challenge is usually meant for individuals and that it spans the month of February in which an individual would spend a minute in cold water for a day up until 28 minutes on the 28th of February. And, you know, like, Athlone being situated near the Shannon meant Lochree was kind of the, Lochree and Coosan Point was sort of the obvious choice to sort of to do this. Now, sadly, if anybody knows Coosan Point, the pub wasn't open when we were doing this, just a And usually it's an individual challenge, but we have to change it to suit the firm. So we changed it from like 28 minutes at the end to be 1,000 minutes across the three offices. And thankfully, we smashed that target there end of today. And we ended up getting over 3,000 minutes across the three offices. So it was a brilliant sort of achievement for everyone involved.
Fantastic. How many people participated?
We've 180 to 200 staff across the three offices, and it was sort of mixed.
And did
40 in total, but like there was all sort of, everyone sort of helped, you know.
Yeah, and again, we're not talking about regulated temperatures here. It's basically whatever the conditions were in the morning, because I know myself last week there was some mornings there that were nippy to say the least. How did you find the conditions?
Had to defrost the car to start, which wasn't a good start. And then after that, you're talking beginning of February, it was anywhere between 3 and 4 degrees, rising to a lovely sort of Mediterranean 6 degrees in the water. It wasn't nice, but it was just all about the challenge and, you know, getting involved and helping each other as well. A core group of four lads that were sort of there every day, and we kind of helped each other get in. We didn't push each other in, just to clear. But
yeah, and I suppose just to clarify, this isn't putting your toes or ankles in the water. This is fully submerged.
Oh, yeah, that's it, yeah. Jeez. So head to toe, try and swim, and if you can't, hold on to the moorings, you know.
So take us back to that very first morning, the 1st of February, when you'd agreed to do this. What was it like the first time?
Roman, thanks for having us. Yeah, the first day, I suppose, there was a little bit of excitement. No one quite knew what we were facing. So we had we'd five people down that morning. One who couldn't swim decided not to jump in, thankfully. But the first day was fine. I have to say the second day was a real challenge, because we knew how cold it was, how kind of unforgiving it was, and there were three of us standing there going, do we really have to do this, or can we back out now? But although Connor said we didn't push each other in, we definitely pulled each other into the water that morning, and it got a lot easier after that, but again, purely down to the support of people that came along on odd days and gave us that boost just when we needed it.
And of course, there was a reason for it, though. You had a reason for starting the initiative as well, and indeed, I suppose, for not just reaching your target, but smashing it as well. Tell us why you actually undertook to jump into freezing cold waters every day for the month of February.
Yeah, sure. So the Freesbury Challenge, Damien Brown created down in Galway 4 or 5 years ago, it's as much a mental challenge as a physical challenge. And it's very much about promoting mental health as an initiative. So we saw Jigsaw as the perfect partner for this, to raise money from a charity point of view. That's the only primary care youth mental service provider in the country, and they provide online and in-service to 12 to 25-year-olds. So Connor's involved with the under-17s in Longford Town Football Club. So obviously a very strong link there. RBK is a training firm. We take in 30-plus graduates a year. So we have a lot of young blood across the firm. And then I'm a parent, and obviously if my girls needed this kind of support, I'd want to make sure it's there. So we'd set 2,800 as the target, €100 a day, and delighted to say we've literally just hit €3,000 now. So we'd be delighted to hand that over to Jigsaw, and hopefully we can squeeze a few more quid in before we officially close the month of February in a few hours' time.
Perfectly. Is there a GoFundMe link or an I Donate page that people can go on to?
I Donate RBK would get you there, yep. You do have to look at Naked Flesh, unfortunately, on the cover page, so that's a health warning for anyone.
Well, that could be another reason for someone to look it up too. Look, it's a fantastic idea. And look, I noticed on a LinkedIn post you'd put up there recently, and you mentioned that fact that cold water is merciless on a weak mind, and it'll teach you a lot about how your mind works. What did you learn from it on a personal capacity? What were the key learnings for yourselves?
Probably accountability, and you know, sort of. I don't know. Look, I probably was late every day in the month of February, to be honest with you. Like we'd agreed to meet at 7:30. I think I was there at 7:35 for the month of February. I don't do that for my employer. I'm just going to put that out there now. But just responsible and just helping each other and sort of the teamwork. Now, that's probably a little bit wishy-washy, but it was just a right team effort across the board.
I'd agree. The power of the team there is a big thing. I think to do this on your own would take phenomenal dedication, and we definitely had some phenomenally dedicated guys on the team, guys and girls. It was we had a good mix of everyone in the water, but it was that camaraderie that, and again, being in the water for 20, 25, 30 minutes, there was some interesting conversations, but those put your mind in a different place. You're not worried about what's sitting in the office for you, that's for sure. It's getting through the next few minutes in front of you.
The question I have to ask is, 28 days, it's kind of classed as an ideal period to form a new habit. So will you both be jumping in tomorrow morning again?
Chris is. I'm staying in bed. That's the honest answer now.
We're going out for some spicy food tonight to warm ourselves up. But I will be floating the idea we spend 5 minutes in the water tomorrow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is it something you might continue doing every day, do you think? Like, is there a benefit to being in the water even for a minute or 2 minutes each morning?
Yeah, I think there's an awful lot of benefit. That 5 to 10 minutes is a perfect time, because you reheat pretty quickly. It gives you all of the shock, getting out of your comfort zone, dealing with that sort of extremity for a short period of time. I'll definitely keep it up. I would be surprised if if others weren't regularly at it.
I think I said during the course of the month, I said I might take up swimming. So, like, you know, at least take something else away from it, or a different habit, not just jumping in the water for the crack either, do you know?
Absolutely, yeah. You can build on that piece, the accountability piece, the fact that you've been doing it every morning for 28 days as well. It's good habit formation stuff as well. But above all that, lads, a fantastic endeavour by you all. Great to see so much money raised for such a worthy charity as well. And it certainly sounds like something that, if it doesn't run for the rest of the year, I think we'll be back next February as well. And it'll be interesting to see how many of your colleagues decide to, and maybe even some of your clients as well, might join you on that one next year. But for now, Chris Ball and Conor Peck, well done, and thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us this evening.
Thanks for
running.
We'll see you in the lake next February.
Oh, that's an invitation and a challenge. We'll come back to that one a bit later. Thanks, guys. What a great idea. Freesbury, a concept that was come up with somebody about 5 years ago, and the team at RBK took to it with gusto as well. Over 3,000 minutes in the water in the month of February. Fair play to them as well. And what a great way to raise money for a great charity. Still to come, Louise Lally will explain how investment in human skills is much needed to retain staff, build brand loyalty, and indeed increase customer attention, particularly in the retail sector. But before that, if you are a small business in the Midlands, if you are somebody who's considering setting up a small business, you've got a business that you want to try and pivot and grow or maybe expand and look at maybe the export market, well, next week is certainly a week to look at and mark off some big events in your calendar. It is Local Enterprise Week 2023 next week, from Monday the 6th to Friday the 10th of March. To find out more about it, I was delighted to catch up a little bit earlier with Tracy Tallon, Senior Enterprise Officer with Leo Westmead, and Orla Martin, Head of Enterprise at Leo Offaly. Now, just to put it in context, last year, 2022, 7,870 new jobs were created by local enterprise office clients. That was a 10% increase on the previous year, and 84% of those jobs created were outside the Dublin region. The year also marked the 9th consecutive year of jobs growth for Leo-backed clients as well. So if you're looking at growing, expanding or starting a business, where better to check out than some of the events that are taking place next week? And I began by asking Tracy, what can we expect from Westmead Leo next week?
It is extremely busy, Ronan. From Monday to Friday, there's something on every day. So to give you a flavour, every day of the week we have a national event. So everybody can join those events. They're open to all businesses. And Westmead happens to be kicking off the launch of Enterprise Week. That's on Monday the 6th. We're kicking it off with a webinar, The First Steps to Export Success. So kicking on then to Tuesday, there's another spotlight event that's going to be within Google, and they're hosting online information sessions all day on Tuesday the 7th of March. So you can click on to those as well. Localenterprise.ie has the links to all of these events. Wednesday, we're focusing in on the green side of things and 10 ways to address your sustainability and drive competitiveness under that heading. So on Wednesday the 8th of March is International Women's Day, and we have an event here in the Mullingar Park Hotel. Further to that is the Green Panel, that's the spotlight event on Wednesday. That's the 10 ways to address sustainability and drive competitiveness. Thursday, the focus is on the whole area of lean and cost savings you can bring into your business by implementing the lean principles, and Alison English is working on that with Dublin City Leo. And again, localenterprise.ie will bring you the links to all of the spotlight events. The week, from a national point of view, is going to finish up on Friday, and that's all about innovation for business success. Kilkenny Leo is hosting that, and they have a range of speakers lined up for the day.
Okay, so a busy week indeed as well. And of course, all those events, I mean, so important for anybody who's thinking of starting a business, or somebody who's already in business and looking at developing it further, because the recent report released showed that actually the enterprise offices across the country created more employment in 2022 than any year previously as well. So lots of great stuff happening there. But Tracy, you want to take us back to an event that's taken place on Monday the 6th of March. Is that First Steps to Export Success. It's a national webinar, but Westmead have stood up to the plate to host this one as well. Tell us more about it.
Exactly. So this whole webinar is around expanding your markets into international markets. And of course, if you're already there as an early stage exporter, we will want to take you on further steps to export success. So we're hosting it in conjunction with Enterprise Ireland and Board BIA. So what that will look like is, from Enterprise Ireland, we will have their key speakers who are going to come on and give us advice on the UK market, and then we will have a speaker specifically on Eurozone and the type of markets that you can look at there, how they're all going at the minute. They'll have up-to-date research that they have on specific markets and how they're doing. We will also have a speaker from their Market Research Centre. So it's very important. That's an Enterprise Ireland support, but it is now going to be open to all clients, including Leo clients. If you come through your Enterprise office, you're going to be able to access that Market Research Centre now. We will also have a speaker outlining all of the Enterprise Ireland supports and to get you on that roadmap for export success. Myself, from Westmead, will be outlining our local enterprise office supports. So we have a range of supports for business to export and bring them up to that Enterprise Ireland portfolio. So we really want to get our clients to look at those markets a little bit differently and tease it out with us where they could possibly go. We've mentoring organised to support them on that journey so they can look at all their costing and pricings for alternative markets. They can even refine their pitch. Maybe they need help on looking at what market might actually work best for them for their product or services. So you can avail of a mentor to work with you on that. And then after the mentor, there's further support specifically for exporting. So if it does end up, you need to go and take a stand at a trade fair that's going to be targeting international markets, you can avail of a grant to do that. That's our TAME grant, so they're on offer. And also we have a specific export advisor. So there's going to be one of them now in each Leo across the country. They're going to help you drill down further and get ready for your export journey. You should end up with an action plan at the end of your work with that advisor, you know, and they're going to prioritise out key areas. Hopefully then our other supports will kick in then under product development and your whole capability and competitiveness.
It's such an important area because, I mean, Brexit has thrown us a lot of things, but a few of the good things it did throw was it made a lot of companies look further afield. Yesterday I was in a coffee shop in the Midlands here. I bumped into a guy who I know, he has a software company and he'd recently expanded into the UK maybe in the last 2 or 3 years. He's now working across the Middle East as well. So it's amazing what can happen when the connections, and you know, if you've got an idea and you've got something you think that is scalable and can be exported, by all means look at it. So this sounds ideal. So tell us, Tracy, how can people sign up for this and get involved?
Okay, perfect. So if you go to localenterprise.ie and then /Westmead, that will bring you to all the Westmead events, because we have some different workshops happening across the week and you can get links to there. But if you go onto localenterprise.ie, there is a big flag there for Enterprise Week. You click in there, bring it straight into those national events. We're Monday the 6th. We are the first one. So and they're all free of charge. So you can book online there, and it's 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. this Monday the 6th.
Perfect. So plenty of time there to kind of get online, book that and reserve a place on that, you know, because say, no doubt lots of people listening have an idea and they'll be looking at scoping out potential export markets there. That definitely sounds like the place to be. Tracy Tallon, thank you so much for that.
Thanks very much, Ronan.
Orla Martin is Head of Enterprise at Local Enterprise Office of Offaly. Orla, as I said to Tracy earlier, no doubt a busy week ahead for y'all in Offaly Local Enterprise too. Again, it's coming on the back though of a fantastic year for the Leos nationally, with over 7,800 new jobs created by Leo clients alone. That's fantastic figures given the way the past number of years has been.
It is, Ronan, and thanks very much for the opportunity to come on and speak with you. So, yeah, we're delighted, and it is a real testament to the resilience of small businesses, the ambition of business owners, and, you know, people taking risks, creating jobs, and, you know, showing great ambition in terms of innovation, export, becoming more efficient. So, you know, we're delighted with that, and this the Local Enterprise Week then will build on that and hopefully encourage more people to get in touch and get involved.
You've certainly taken on those and looked at those challenges and those key areas where there's opportunities for businesses as you've kind of created the team and the content for the week ahead. Can you take us through some of the key points and the key events and seminars that are going to be taking place?
Yes, so we're participating with all the enterprise offices, the local enterprise offices, on 5 spotlight events. So these events are online and they're open to all businesses from all around the country. And they are, you know, on key themes there of export, digital marketing, being more green, being more lean and efficient, and innovating for business success. So there's one of those spotlight events on daily. And as I say, they're open to all businesses. And then here in Offaly, we've a number of events that are, I suppose, really geared towards Offaly businesses, and priority will be given to Offaly business owners to attend them. So there's a few of them that I might flag to you, Ronan. The information is all on our website, localenterprise.ie/Offaly. But for example, we have a one-day event in the factory in Fife Alley in Birr, all about how businesses can really embrace eco-action. And the factory in Birr, the print company, has is multi-award winning at this stage and has been just really inspiring on how they have embraced green energy. And so they've got really practical tips, a tour, and just can really show the how-to of their journey and give advice to businesses that want to become more sustainable. We have a lunch and learn event with Blaise Brosnan, all on trying to manage inflationary costs. So that's on the 7th of March. We have we've online workshops. We have a money mastery and mindset workshop, all finance related. We have a digital marketing course kicking off during the week. We have a number of specific mentoring clinics. So a mentoring clinic is where we have a topic. So for example, one of them is with a tourism expert. And so people who might be considering of setting up a tourism business along the Greenway perhaps, or by the Shannon, can book a 50-minute slot free of charge to speak one-to-one with a tourism expert and to be able to talk through their idea and get a good advice on how to bring it on further. We've other mentoring clinics on tendering and procurement and on digital marketing and advice. We have our County Enterprise Awards on Monday, so that's great. We'll be celebrating. There's eight finalists there for the overall prize and for a number of category awards. We also have the Student Enterprise Awards, and there's 29 projects, student enterprise projects, competing for the final, and that's open to the public from 12 noon. And it's, you know, it's great, inspiring to see the next generation of students. So that's of entrepreneurs in the county. So that's on Tuesday in the Tullamore Court Hotel. And then we have a couple of sessions on in the libraries, the evenings, Wednesday evening, we have outreach clinics both in Birr and in Edenderry libraries from 5:30 to 7:30, where people can come in and just have a chat with us to find out a little bit more about the local enterprise office and, you know, how maybe they're looking to develop even a part-time business or explore a business idea.
Well, it's a comprehensive schedule, and anybody that has that idea, or maybe if it's only at incubation stage, the supports are there, the information is there, the mentors are out there just to get them as well. Again, it's go to the website really is the best place to go and book all these courses or these events.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do so. And we're encouraging people. We know everybody is really busy, but it's a great opportunity, Local Enterprise Week, to take the time to kind of invest in yourself as a business person and invest in your business. It's a great opportunity, especially with the number of in-person events, a great opportunity to connect with other business owners and share war stories and get tips maybe on how to deal with things. And also we'd be encouraging people who have staff maybe to nominate their staff and say, look, are there any sessions you'd like to attend during Local Enterprise Week, and encourage connections that way between them and other businesses, and also for people to learn in a very practical way, because as you know, Ronan, all our courses are very much geared to business people and business owners. You know, they're not academic, they're very much on the how-to.
Absolutely. And if you are looking at how to grow or you need to start your business, no better place to look than your Local Enterprise Week, and you can check out localenterprise.ie/LaoiseOffaly or Westmeath. Laois have a similar range of events on as well for next week, including, you know, some similar topics as well, really around the bottom line and how to reduce costs. Also looking at things like lean and green as well. But on Wednesday, which of course is International Women's Day, they are hosting an event in collaboration with Laois Chamber Alliance. It's a Women in Business networking lunch to celebrate International Women's Day. Guest speaker is none other than Midlands 103's Dr. Diane Cooper, who's a clinical exercise physiologist, health researcher and the founder and CEO of EduFit as well. So lots of events happening next week for both Enterprise Week and also some on Wednesday to mark International Women's Day. Coming up a little bit later, you'll find out why an Offaly man decided to invest €300,000 into his South Dublin gastropub along with his business partner. He has a huge amount of experience in that industry. So you'll find out all about that a little bit later. But first, you know, we know so many sectors were challenged through COVID, not just because of restrictions and closures and that, but by a talent drain, by people leaving the sector as they got frustrated waiting on restaurants or shops or different businesses to reopen. And for a long time, we didn't really know when they would actually be able to reopen and stay open. It caused a huge issue. Then into 2022, you had that whole thing of that concept of the great resignation, where people were apparently resigning from their jobs en masse without having a new job to go to, but they were just making that decision to go and try something different or do something new, all of which presents and puts a lot of pressure on you as a business owner, particularly if you are in that retail sector. Well, Louise Lally is the founder of Louise Lally Training Academy. She's an executive coach that specialises in retail coaching, and Louise joins me now. Louise, you certainly found a very niche area for coaching and development. That, what led you into that whole area and that space around retail?
Yeah, so hi Ronan, nice to be on this evening with everyone. I was in the sector for 15 years, so I've worked with from large multinationals to independents to family-run businesses. So I was in that for quite a long time. My background is HR and training and development, and I took the plunge and went into retail consultancy and training a few years ago. So I'm working predominantly now with business owners, CEOs and HR departments within that space.
What are the biggest challenges that you're encountering?
The biggest challenges I'm seeing at the moment for the retailers is the retention and the recruitment of staff. So some retailers, unfortunately, are actually having to change their trading hours in many parts of Ireland. I suppose the rural parts would have had the biggest challenge because they don't have as much traffic, they don't have as much footfall, they don't have, I suppose, as big of a net as the cities would in terms of staffing. So some of them have had to close on Sundays, some closing on Mondays and maybe their quieter days to try and alleviate and to take the pressure off the business a little bit so they can essentially get a day off, really, the ones that are running the store and try and balance it out that way.
And is staffing the primary issue there again? And is it due to the great resignation or people just not returning back into a sector where they may have built up quite a lot of experience and over and hours in the workplace over the years?
Yeah, so Rona, we've seen that massively through COVID. So I think when everyone was furloughed, and I think really the non-essential retailers, so the likes of, you know, clothing, cosmetics, those kind of retailers, the non-food, I suppose, retailers, they were all furloughed. And what you did see was there was a huge shift there. So across the board, a lot of retail managers in the UK and Irish market, they left essentially, they reskilled, they went into other sectors and other spaces, and there was a huge gap there because there was so much years of experience that left with that. And a lot of those retailers that didn't really have, I suppose, the training in place, they didn't have that kind of, I suppose, that coaching or that mentoring happening in the business, they really felt that pinch because they had managers in there for a very long time, and when they left, the experience left with them. So what ended up happening was they were recruiting managers, and the managers that are coming into the business don't really know where to go because none of those things were in place. So they're finding they're coming in and they're going out as fast as they're coming in. So it's really going back, and retail were very, very slow to put money into training. It's probably the last area they look at in a business, really, is the training side of things. But I think there's a huge shift happening at the moment, Ronan, where you're seeing people going into interviews now in retail and asking them in the interview, you know, well, what training am I going to be given? You know, where is my growth and development? Whereas years ago, you didn't see a lot of that. You didn't see those conversations happening. So I think retailers now are really having to rethink, where are they investing in that in their business? And is it enough in order to grow their business or to get a return where they're not seeing that financially?
Do you think candidates see it as a viable career option?
That's a really good question. So I think there's a lot being done in that industry at the moment. And there's Oran Doherty, who is over the Retail Skills Net Ireland. And he has a fantastic apprenticeship program in retail that he heads up with his research team up in Letterkenny. And there's, again, there's the VTAC program that a lot of retailers are in. So I do think it. We need to make it a career of choice. I think for a long time, Ronan, it was a job where you went in on a part-time basis. You might have been in college. You've seen it as I'll drop in and I'll drop out kind of a career. And then some people that fell into it, like me and many others, we ended up staying in it because we got a love for it. But I think we need to go back and look at, well, is it a career of choice at the moment? And if not, why not? So are we doing really great training programs where people are seeing they're getting great communication skills in retail? You're learning emotional intelligence in retail. You know, you're learning listening skills. All of these amazing human skills you're learning on the ground, face to face, you will take with you forever. You know, they're fantastic skills that you learn on the ground, and you learn by doing, which again we know retains better with people from a learning perspective.
I suppose as well as retaining the skills or the new knowledge as well, it might also help the business retain those staff, because as you're kind of suggesting that the recruitment model is changing, or indeed has to change, if these companies and in retail sector in particular want to attract new people into the business. So what are the typical type of training courses that you're delivering to retail companies?
Yeah, so the retail courses I would deliver at the moment would be looking at the onboarding program. So again, when they get someone new in the business, what does that typically, that first 30, 60 and 90 days look like? Because when we don't have that fixed in place, a lot of the time we're losing them within that probationary period, within that first 6 months, because they're feeling overwhelmed. They're feeling they're not clear on what it is they're doing. You know, we're giving them the job spec. That's not really good enough. It used to be good enough years ago. It's not good enough now. So, you know, are we making it very clear to them what the invisibles are in the business? You know, not just the visible jobs, but the challenges that they're going to be facing in the business. So again, I look at very much scenario-based training. So, you know, is there someone in the business that can mentor them? Is there someone that they can buddy up with it? Is there another store of a similar turnover that can maybe buddy with them for the first 3 to 6 months, and they can be their port to call if there's an area manager managing 16 to 20 stores? It's not always feasible to have them mentoring that specific manager, and most of the time they don't have the time to do it. So again, looking at who in the business has that talent, who in the business can maybe support the other managers there and give them someone to turn to. So again, it's very much a 360 model, Ronan. It's not just going in, we give them the training plans and we leave them off to their own devices. It's a 3-6 model look at it. So what does a feedback look like? How often are they giving that manager feedback in the business? And who's giving them the feedback? Are they getting feedback by the team? Are they getting feedback by the senior leadership team, by their area manager? And then what are they doing with that feedback? And what actions are they putting in place? And you can gain very quickly by sitting down with the business owners and seeing what they have in place, where the gaps are. Okay, what do we really need to focus on? So is it the case that the feedback isn't effective enough? So that's where we really need to look at, how are we communicating that? Is it that we're communicating it verbally, but it's not clear written? So we look at that written feedback model, maybe giving them a template and talking them through how to do that. So typically that would be one of the programs we would look at, and obviously looking at listening skills and all that great communication stuff would be incorporated into that.
Are the training programs that people would say maybe one or even just two retail stores could also look into as well? Because obviously time is a huge challenge, and maybe turnover of staff and lots of, you know, maybe casual or weekend workers too. Is it something that can be applied to even a smaller retail business?
Yeah, so again, a smaller retail business, you'd have one or two people doing a multitude of tasks. So the challenge that they normally have would be around I suppose, roles and responsibilities and looking at their trading periods in the store. So again, you know, if someone leaves the business, is that part-timer able to take over certain areas of it? So yeah, you would look, we would look at that with independence as well. It's a very different model to the larger multinationals because they have more resources, they have a bigger team, but again, they still need training. The independents and the one-side stores, they probably need it more than the bigger ones, because the bigger ones can take the hit if they have two people leaving in the morning. They can flex up that staff if they have a team of 15 or 20. The smaller independents, they might only have two on the floor on Monday and a Tuesday. It's quite hard then if one or two of those leave, because what you end up seeing is the owner ends up working in the business instead of on the business. So a lot of the work I do with the independents is trying to help the store manager of the independents put processes in place where they're nearly overseeing the business more so than actually being inside in the business and working on it. So that would be a program I would do, would be more consultancy around that with the independents than a training program, because they're very niche. Each one has their own challenges dependent on the business model.
From a roughly a time frame, if somebody was engaged in a program, is it over a period of time, over a year, or are they kind of short hits, maybe once a week? How do you typically structure your training courses?
Yeah, so the consultancy would be long term. So the likes of some of the independents I'd work with, typically 3 to 6 months, and I would check in with them on a weekly basis. And then my programs that I would do, if we were looking at, for example, implementing an onboarding program or looking at maybe the recruitment needs of a business, that might be over a 4 to 6 week period. So I would have a fixed program there that we would work on, and we work together on that. But initially, you're looking at the shortest one, 4 to 6 weeks. The longer ones are usually what I end up doing with businesses, because they come to me with, it could be an issue around staff turnover, but then you go into the business, Ronan, and very often it's usually something more than that. It's usually, well, we need to put a process in place to better help them within that area or that field. So yeah,
are business owners likely then to try to measure, you know, actually look at staff retention rates and look at turnover and see, yeah, does that percentage decrease? And are there other things, yeah, they can also see from it, like is there an increased brand loyalty or a sense of identity then within the company, which then translates back to customers? Like, and are there stuff, there things there that we can actually measure?
Yes, yeah. So really good question. So obviously, there's retailers are, everything is KPI metrics, so key performance indicators. So again, your retention rate, when I'm working with businesses around the onboarding and around the training, the sales training, the customer service training, that all comes back to skills bases. So if you're doing your onboarding really well, if you get a manager in a business or staff in a business, and if you've done that first 90 days really well, Ronan, you would be able to see what that skills gap is. So for example, if they're not great around the closing the sale piece, you would then work on that. So what KPI metric would you measure in there? Okay, we'd really look at measuring the average basket spend, because we know that they're able to talk to the customer. We know the interaction is great, but they're maybe just not closing the sale enough or bringing up the basket spend. So maybe their conversion is really good, so they're converting people coming in the door, so they have a really high conversion. So the gap or the opportunity there would be the ATV. So they would measure that then, and you'd really look at that week on week, and within 4 weeks then you'd be looking for that inlet, that uplift as such. And they would be setting that metric themselves in the business based on their last year's figures and based on their trading pattern. But those are very easy and measurable metrics that you can put in place when you do this training, because that's, you can see that that's going to impact the business in that way.
It ties nicely back to the very start of the show when the two guys from RBK spoke about accountability in doing their challenge as well when you're working with a team, and that's exactly what you're applying here. Louise, how can people find out more about your training academy?
Yeah, so they can find me. My website is just getting redone at the moment, but it's louiselallybusinesscoaching.com. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So again, I'm Louise Lally on LinkedIn. So reach out to me. I'm contactable on there. And I do usually get back to people. It might be in a couple of days, but I'm very contactable there. It's where I'm at usually.
Louise, been a pleasure talking to you as well. Lots of potential great insights and tips there for anybody in the retail sector as well. Thank you so much for that. And I'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Thanks a million. Thanks so much, Ronan. Thank you.
That's Louise Lally there from Louise Lally Training Academy. She's an accredited executive coach but specialises in retail coaching. Hopefully there was some pointers there for you in that and something that might be worth following up for you. Local Enterprise Week is all about people taking a punt, having an idea and turning into a business. Well, someone who really lives out those virtues is David Marr, one of the co-owners of Solus Eco Garden Shop in Port Arlington. And just yesterday, he posted a video up on LinkedIn and across all the social media channels that David Bean David was out doing his bit for the community, as he does on so many different initiatives, but in the tidy towns, and they were out doing a litter pick. And he found some interesting items. Here's what David posted yesterday.
This video was inspired by the events of this morning as I was doing my normal weekly cleanup of the roads around the Solus Eco Garden Centre. For the first time in 25 years, I've actually found some items thrown on the side of the road that I was quite happy to find. So the sort of unboxing video here, the first one was a €5 note that I'm guessing was left inadvertently by somebody, but still quite a nice surprise and a great start to the day. But it only got better because 100 metres down the road, thrown in a ditch, I found this beautiful presentation box of Nivea skincare products, ideal for any tidy towns representative who's ever suffered with dry hands from cleaning up other people's filth by having to wear gloves. So there was no receipt with it, but I'm guessing it was quite the steal. So for the first time ever, I'm actually going to say to illegal dumpers in Leash and right across the country, keep up the good work.
That's David Marder from Solus Eco. He found a €5 note and a pack of Nivea face creams and moisturiser. So I said to him yesterday, I'm looking forward to his new beauty blog whenever he launches it. But anyway, great business, great venue. Keep up the great work there, lads. Another local businessman who has been making big investments recently is Erwin Pollard. He's from Edenderry originally, and he's just reopened the Brickyard up in Dublin. He's been talking to Midlands 103's Cameron Clark about investing over €300,000 into the venue.
So Brickyard opened 7 years ago. We bought myself and my partner and originally a third partner, lived in the area. We all come from hospitality backgrounds and we all wanted a pub that we could go to ourselves that had some good beer, really good food, cocktails, was able to bring our partners, were able to go out with the lads, were able to watch a match. And we struggled to find somewhere that encapsulated all of that. So we decided to embark on a project of Brickyard.
So you've reopened your doors this week. What difference can customers expect when they go into Brickyard now?
I suppose we put a massive amount into. We always knew from the very beginning. At the very beginning, we ran out of money before we opened. We never got a finish. We put a lot of money into the kitchen area, the back house areas. Never really got a finish the bar to the level we wanted it to. We opened with IKEA chairs because we had nothing else. So we knew from day one when we opened that we were going to have to survive off good food, good service, good drink, good cocktails, etc., etc. And we've, to be fair, created a strong local following based on that offering. So this time round, we said, right, well, what do we need to do to finish to put the last piece of the jigsaw into the puzzle? And it was, I suppose, to create a more finished feeling to it, softer, more comfortable, and reward our customers, I suppose, for being so good to us for the last 6 years, knowing that we came from, that they weren't dealing with the plushest bar of the whole world for 6 years.
So look, it's no secret the hospitality sector has struggled since the COVID-19 pandemic. So how do you, as a businessman, justify putting in a significant investment into a pub at a time when the sector is in the trouble it is?
I suppose we're kind of unique and lucky, and I'm sure there's others like us. We're suburban Dublin. We're surrounded by, we have a lot of footfall. We're on a Lewis line, so we have a lot of footfall by our door every single day. We have a lot of apartments, a lot of houses around us. And I think we felt that through the closure period, yeah, it was really tough. It was really tough on us, it was really tough on our staff, really tough on our staff's families. But through the period that we were open, we probably benefited coming out of COVID because people stayed local, people decided to support their local pubs, their local shops, and that support local, I suppose, has driven us to put us in a better standing stage, you know what I mean?
That's Erwin Pollard there, the owner, co-owner of the Brickyard up in Dublin 16. It's a gastropub in Dundrum. And is speaking there to Midlands 103's Cameron Clark about the reinvestment him and his business partners have made. Over €300,000 gone back into the venue. But Erwin, of course, local man from Edenderry, huge amount of experience in the retail, in the hospitality industry too, and all the very best to him and his partners in their new venture too. Thank you to all this evening's guests for their contributions, in particular to the two guys from RBK. What an endeavour they took on there, 28 days in a row in the freezing cold waters just to raise money for Jigsaw. A great charity, a great initiative. Well done to all associated with a great company as well. Thank you to all tonight's guests. Hope you enjoyed it and got benefit from it. Joe Cooney is here after News at 8 with Country Roads. I'll talk to you next week.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.